few minutes ago we sang the hymn, "In My Heart There Rings a Melody." But I'm wondering, my friend, is that the status of your heart today? Is in your heart, is there a melody ringing? Is it a result of the Lord Jesus Christ being in your life? I trust that it is, because Proverbs 4:23 tells us this: "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Scripture also tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness." This morning we're going to look briefly at what God shares with us about His Word, about His heart, about our hearts, and His thoughts and our thoughts, and what our meditations are, what our reflections are, our remembrances towards Him, and what they should be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You tell us in Your Word that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. May we indeed be men, women, boys, and girls after Your own heart. Open our hearts this morning to receive the words that You have given to me to give to them, and may our hearts beat in unison with Yours, so that we may bring honor and glory to You in what we think, say, and do. In Your Son Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, volumes of books, indeed the book, God's Word, contains so much in terms of what about the heart and the issues relative thereto. This morning I'm not going to be talking about romance and certainly references to the heart in that regard, but rather what God says about His heart, about yours and about mine. Both you and I know that our hearts are really the very essence, the very being of who we are. It is who we are in our hearts. It's the real person. Others may think they know us, our spouses, our friends, but God really knows us. He really knows us. There is no escaping or running from His scrutiny and from His eyes, His piercing eyes that see right into our hearts. Would you agree with that? Of course you do. You wouldn't be here today. Yet while I'm not talking about, as the kids would say, the old days, Dad, way back when you were a kid, I was super shy, so I didn't have much romance in my life growing up, okay? But maybe some of y'all did, and I'm not talking about the Hollywood version today. That's more lust, and that's more, you know, other things, immorality. But I'm talking about the big picture, and the bottom line is God's profound love for us that visibly that we can see in our mind's eyes. You see the Lord Jesus stretched out with His arms with the nails pierced in His hands on the cross of Calvary. And remembering John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that's true love. That is true love. Another scripture says, "Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends." Certainly that is what the Lord Jesus did for us. God sending His only Son to die for your sins and for mine, so that we who believe on Him could have everlasting life with Him and be with Him in heaven. Wonderful, wonderful. So what does God have to say to us about how we should think and act after His heart's ways? Scripture is replete with illustrations and specific instructions and admonitions for us. What did we read? We read in Jeremiah. Here's what we read just a few minutes ago. Jeremiah 29:11-14. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me." How comforting that is. Seeking and finding. How often in our lives, especially as we get older, we seek but we can't find. You know, we have memory lapses, other things. Seeking and finding. This is the ultimate seeking and finding. "And when you search for me with your whole heart, I will be found, saith the Lord." And how about a few chapters over in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33:3. To which we should rightly say, "Oh my God, how great thou art." He will always be there. But do we call on Him as we should? He wants us to. He wants to demonstrate His greatness in our lives if we'd only let Him do so. He's given us His commandments, not suggestions, 10 of them. I love the visual reminders, so I brought
something to share with you this morning. I got these recently. I got so pumped up. I haven't put them anywhere but on the piano. Ten Commandments. There they are right there. Obviously not the original ones. Isn't it wonderful to have visual reminders? Don't we need that more in our life? We got enough garbage out there reminding us and telling us about other things as opposed to the commandments that God has given us. Though He has shared those with us and shares with us, hey, here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to act on. These are not my suggestions. They're my commandments. And let's look at the example of the directions that God gave to Joshua. You remember when they wandered for 30 years, Moses was now taken to heaven, and Joshua was given the mantle of leadership. And God spoke to him and gave him a commandment, a clear commandment. If you would turn to Joshua chapter 1 and look along as I read verses 6 through 9. These are the words that he spoke, and they're so applicable to us today. As they were about to enter the promised land, God said through Joshua, and Joshua then gave this command to the people. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to thy right hand or to thy left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only time success is mentioned in the Bible is right here. Okay, it's not the modern version of success. This is God's saying, this is how you're going to have success. This is how you're going to prosper. Have I not commanded thee? Verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, you apply that to your life. Has there been a time, even this last week, you could have had this read to you? Did you need to have someone, God, to say, listen, be strong and be of good courage. The challenges that befall you. Is there anyone here that did not have, maybe the kiddos, did not have a single challenge this last week? No hands going up. Some of us, I know, had some major challenges. Do we not need to be reminded of what God is saying? I don't think it's any accident that in three different instances in those verses, He said, be strong and of good courage. He wanted to repeat it. He wanted us to have that to sink into our very being. Did not they need to hear that way back then? Absolutely. Do we not need to hear that today? You bet. Do not these same things apply to us day by day by day? Of course. Just as God knew and also loved David, remember, He called David a man after God's own heart. And so He wants us to do likewise. He wants us to have a heart that beats in unison with His. And you remember what God said when the prophet Samuel was seeking out and looking for the replacement. God said, I want you to go to this house. I'm going to tell you who you're going to anoint. He went to Jesse's house. Son after son after son came to him. Here's a big tall one and everything. He thought, well, surely this is the one. God said to prophet Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. Do we look good? Do we smell good? We got the latest fashions, everything else? We got our act together? No, God looks on what? The heart. He looks on your heart. He looks on my heart. I can't fake Him out. You can't either. He knows exactly what's going on with us. The heart, yours, mine. God tells us that we will be blessed when we are upright and follow His own heart. Go with me to Psalm 1, would you please? Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, look, if you want to be upright and follow me, here's my instruction for being a righteous man. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Follow along with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Can't you see this tree with deep roots in the bank there going down, gathering water, sustenance, strength on a day-by-day basis? That's what God wants for us. He's saying, if you will just do what I say, if you will be in my word, I will give you strength and sustenance every day. You can draw on it. You can count on it. That bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Verse 3, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Yes, that's what he wants. That's being the righteous man according to God's instruction. He will establish us, and he will strengthen us. Being established, rooted and grounded, and strengthened for our daily work, for our daily challenges that come our way. If you would flip over a few pages to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, 30 through 33. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save our Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me on high places. The imagery here, in those days, the rocky terrain and everything else, but those animals that were up there, their hinds' feet were their stabilizing impact that allowed them to spring from one to another. Don't we need hinds' feet like that in the challenges that we face every day? Absolutely we do. That's the instruction. That's the admonition that is right there for us. And what about our thoughts and the meditations of our heart as we think about our God? Go over just to one chapter there, over to 19, and look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. 19:14. And can we truly count on him to hear us and to always be there for us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Has he ever let you down a single time? Never. Never will, never has. Always has, always will. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That was Psalm 20, verses 7 through 8. How about his eternality? Can we always count on him? Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He will always be here. Was he there? Think back of a couple of stories here that I just love, and I just want to share them with you. Stories that you know, but it so amplifies God's heart and how he wants us to depend on him. Remember back in biblical times, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Recently at Vacation Bible School, my precious Francis gave a series every day, flannel graph stories on the heroes of the faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the day when Daniel was presented as well. And you remember the story there that even though the three of them knew what the consequences would be if they did not fall down and worship the statue, the big statue that was erected of King Nebuchadnezzar, they didn't do it. And of course, all the people who wanted to get rid of them said, oh, king, these guys didn't do it. So they summoned them, brought before the king. And how would you like to be summoned before the king, the mightiest person on the face of the earth, and you know what your fate is awaiting you? How strong is your faith? Would you be able to say, as they said, and look the king right in the eyes? I'm looking at Steve Scheidel right now and say, oh, king, we know what the decree is, but I don't care what it says. While we respect you, basically, we are not going to pay homage to you. We are not going to defile our relationship with our God. We are not going to fall down and worship you. We know what the consequences would be. Our God could save us, and he may save us, but if he chooses not to, we're still not going to do it. And the king was wroth. Anybody standing up to him, and he gave the command. Heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it normally would be. Stoke that baby up, throw in the wood or whatever they had in there, the four sources of fuel, 7 times hotter. Get the strongest men we've got in the land, bind these guys up, 3 of them bound up, and throw them in there. Well, you know what happened. They opened the door to the furnace, and the flames came out and engulfed the strong men. They were down dead as a doornail immediately. Our guys went in there, and what happened?
Nothing happened to them. In fact, all of a sudden, their bounds were gone. They were walking around inside, and the king looked inside and said, "Didn't we cast 3 men in there?" "Yes, O king." There are 4 walking around conversing inside, and the 4th looks to be the Son of God. Wow. What power. Call them forth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. They came out. You couldn't even smell fire on them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Nothing on their clothes. They stood there, and he gave great homage and respect to the living God that they represented. What a powerful testimony that was, to say the least. So the 3 of them, what had happened? They had determined years before, when they were teenagers, you young people that are here today and those listening to this on the internet ministry, think about this. You are setting the foundation for the rest of your lives. These are the decisions that you're making today and at this time in your life that will carry you through. Make the determination in your heart that you will serve the living God, our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will do that with every fiber of your being. Because they made the determination that they would not be defiled early on in their captivity. They were told, look, you eat this, you drink this, and everything else. And they said, no, we're not going to defile ourselves. Please, give us an opportunity. Give us a week to show what we can do. We'll eat mush. We'll eat grits or whatever you want to call it. Okay? And they ate that, and their skin and their countenance was fairer than the others. So they let them alone. They determined in their heart, as did Daniel, that they would not defile themselves. They would serve the Lord. They would be there in captivity, yes, but they would do the best that they could. Colossians 3, 23, 24 wasn't even given then, okay? But they determined in their heart that they would do their best to serve the Lord. Do your work heartily as to the Lord, because it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Colossians 3, 23, 24. So what happened then? Their companion, Daniel, later in life, we fast forward many, many years, in fact, decades, Nebuchadnezzar, you know what happened to him? Ultimately, he went out and he went crazy. And he went out and was in the field eating grass like the cattle. And he ultimately had some restoration of his mental process and everything, but then he was dead. King Darius is on the scene now. Here is Daniel, a faithful servant of the Lord. And Daniel had risen through the ranks. He was shown to be trustworthy, everything else that he could be counted on. And he was like the president, one of the top people in the land under King Darius. The others, jealous of him, obviously, and they wanted to conspire to get rid of him. So they knew that what was the heart of the king? The heart of the king was great pride. None of us, of course, have pride. But, I mean, he had great pride. And they said, hey, king, what do you think about it? For 30 days, we give honor and respect to you. Nobody's going to pray to anybody but you, King Darius. And he said, that sounds great to me. He issued the decree, gave his little stamp on it, and they couldn't change it. The law of the kings of the Medes, they could not change the law. So what happened was, then they saw, they put that in effect, and where did Daniel? He purposed in his heart long before that he would not defile God, and he would not go against him. So 3 times a day he would go and open his windows, and he would pray. And he did as he had aforetime. So he did exactly what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do. They knew what he was going to do. And this little spy said, aha, we got him. Went to the king. King, he's done this. And the king said, oh no, he's one of my favorite people. Why did I do this? And he anguished. And all night he tried to figure out, how can I get out of this? How can I change the decree? But he knew that he couldn't be changed. Reluctantly, Daniel was put into the lion's den. They put the big rock on there. And you know the rest of the story there. What happened? Nothing. The lions did not touch him. Early the next morning, the king could not sleep. He got up early and he came to the opening there. They rolled the rock back and he said, oh, Daniel, are you alive? Has your God preserved you? And he said, oh, King Darius, live forever. And the king got excited. Pull him up out of there. They got him up out of there and he issued a decree on the spot that all peoples of the world would honor, give honor and respect to this God, this living God that had delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Got the bad guys, rounded them up, threw them in there with their families. And Scripture tells us before they even hit the ground, the bottom of the pit, the lions just devoured them. Now, what about that? Is our God great? Absolutely. It's exciting to be able to tell these stories and to live them and to see there. Well, I dare you, ladies and gentlemen, here today, Christian brothers and sisters, to be a Daniel I dare myself. Why not be a Daniel? Why not live the vibrant Christian life as we should, as we can, sinners though we be? We can do that. How about an additional instruction for us on a daily basis on how to discipline our hearts and our minds? The book of Proverbs is replete with so many observations, directions, and admonitions for us. Let's look at a few of them. I said it earlier, Proverbs 3:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In verse 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all of thy ways be established." Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." How do you think in your heart? How do I think in my heart? I am ashamed to say the thoughts that come into my heart. Can you say that you're pure before God all the time? No, none of us can. Chapter 21, verse 2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord," what? "Pondereth his hearts." And here's a great one to be applied on a daily basis. Part of a prayer every morning when Francis and I wake up and we snuggle and pray together. And I say, "Lord, commit my works to you today. Please establish my thoughts." Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Establishing our thoughts, directing our paths, laying a foundation for the day that's before us. None of us know, none of us are guaranteed that we're going to have lunch tomorrow or dinner tonight. We don't know what the afternoon, the evening, tomorrow may bring. What about other direction in our life? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. 16 verse 9. And did you know that a sound heart is the life of the flesh? A sound heart, that doesn't mean just a healthy heart. Well, I've had my checkups and I'm doing all my stuff and I'm not eating this, drinking that, all that kind of stuff. I'm doing my exercise. That's not what it's talking about. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. And a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. How's your countenance this morning? Not all of you are smiling back at me, okay? A cheerful countenance. Do others see the joy of the Lord in your face, in your countenance, in your zip in your step? Do they know you're a Christian? Are you the only Bible they're going to read and that they don't want to close it? They want to look, they want to observe, they want to learn, they want to know more? Is that true with you? And a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Hey, think about this. You don't even have to meet the deductible. This is the best medicine that we can have. It doesn't cost us a thing. And how about this? The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, adding learning to his lips. Now, what do you think about that? Do we need to teach our mouths sometime? Okay, I would say so. I would say I do too. But my friends, we should also know what God hates. He's telling us what he loves. Instructions. What does he hate? A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Chapter 6, verse 18. And what are we capable of? Everything. Everything. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. God also hates pride. He says in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before" what? "A fall." Beware. All of us. Me. "However, such need not be the case when we're in God's Word daily and abiding in Him." How do we do that? Well, consider the instruction that's given by the psalmist in chapter 119, 105. You know it. Most of you have it memorized, I'm sure. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay? Wonderful. Is it just a verse, however? Or think of the imagery that's there. Illumination on what we need to go our way. And blocking out other things, but being illuminated there. And by doing so, we can truly say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." "The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Psalm 28:7. Last week, several of us were at the Wilds. Roger's family and our family and Steve and Mary Ann Shidler were at the Wilds. The instructor, the teacher, the speaker, pastor that week was Jim Benny, a very gifted man, many hardships in his life. The Lord has used him in a mighty way, great man of faith, an instructor there. And he was telling us in one of the illustrations where he was saying, get this mental image if you would. Many of you ladies love to bake. You can't make pastries of cakes and all that kind of stuff. I don't do all that well except slice the cookies, put them in the oven, and get ready to chow down on them, maybe like some of you men. But you ladies, if you bake and you've got a sifter and it's a flour sifter and the flour goes through that, what happens typically is it will get all gunked up and gooed up and everything. How do you get it ungunked, if that's a term or something, okay? How do you do that? Well, you've got to put it under the spigot or under the sink, the faucet and everything. Show where I'm from, I guess. And you pour the water wide open on it, and you just got to let it pour on there, and it eventually kind of break loose and everything. And his illustration to us was, isn't that just like our hearts? Don't our hearts get all gunked up with the things of the world, maybe before we're saved, maybe we're backslidden in the time in our life or whatever, and our heart just gets all gunked up. Some of us, hopefully, are not that way right now, but maybe there are people in our family or friends that are that way or colleagues at work. And you think about this. What is the answer to ungunk that? It is the sifting of God's Word through the water of God's Word, so to speak, through that sieve to break loose that flour, that gunk, those clotted arteries within our hearts to make it flow smoothly again, to bring us back into harmony, peace and harmony with the Lord. So that's the answer there. As we kind of head in the stretch now with the Scripture, and we look at God's heart and our heart, I'm just asking you, does He even have your heart? Does He have your heart? Now, you may be saved, but it may have been years ago, and maybe things have just gotten out of kilter with you. And if He doesn't have your heart to start off with, why not just give it to Him? Why not just give it to Him this morning? Those of you in this assembly here before us, I can't help but believe that most, if not all of you, are saved. Many people perhaps listening to the internet ministry, we know these messages are going all over the world. And as I'm giving this message this morning, our group is here. You can see our numbers. They're not great, but 10 to 15 times this number are listening to this message on an average around the world, somewhere. And there's some of those people that are looking, they're seeking, they're wanting peace in their lives, they want an instruction. They want to know how can they have the comfort that they have seen in other people. How can they achieve that? Well, the answer is salvation for them. And in the quietness of your heart, listener, and those of you here, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, all you have to do is just acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you believe that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth to die on the cross for our sins. And He did die. He was buried, but He rose 3 days later, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, to give us eternal life by just embracing Him, by believing that simple fact. And yet, right over the heads of so many people, most people in the world, they want to believe in the political correctness that Brother Dick was talking about in the Sunday school hour this morning. Politically correct to say there are many paths to heaven. It is not so. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you've not already done that, I encourage you to do so. Is your heart tender towards Him? Listen to this, if you would. I'd like to close my message this morning with a medley of several hymns that I think amplify what I've done my best to share with you this morning, what God has given me and spoken to my heart. I pray that these words in the message that you will hear in these hymns will do the same for you. The first one, A Tender Heart. Listen to the words. It is the Lord speaking to your heart.
Take me now, Lord Jesus, take me. I would give my heart to Thee. Thy devoted servant, make me only Thine to be. Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give
Give me thy heart, the Lord says. Give me thy heart. Intended to sing How Great Thou Art. I cannot do that. I'd like to read the words to you. It's so profound, so simply profound. You probably remember it many years ago, maybe some of Billy Graham's Crusades and others, that was sung with great gusto by George Beverly Shea. I can remember as a teenager hearing that, not being saved, but it spoke to my heart. And clearly, to me, it's just the culmination of a message like this that the Lord has given me. I wish I could have sung it for you, but just listen as I go through the verses. Can you just play it lightly and I'll read the words, please? O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. Second verse. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin, yours too. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. I'm going to sing the third verse. When Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and take me home, a joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul,